Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Tom Farinella Show. Yes, let's get ready to rant here, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host. That's right, Tom Farinella. I've had it. I've had it with everything. And, you know, I vowed to take a break from this. This is a futile effort, but I'm back in ways that I can't even describe. And there are so many reasons why I've come back. This is the Tom Farinella radio program right here at Blog Talk Radio. Thank you and welcome to the program. And now it's time to say goodbye to one of the nation's most influential members of the political scene, Hillary Rodham Clinton.
There's a hole in that roof. My position is probably sufficient, but there's no proof. The paper's the dying. There's a war in the white. But you turn right over to the thing is better. Hey now, hey now. Don't dream. Hey now, hey now. You're the one.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The dream is over. I'm sorry, don't dream. It's over. That's right. Stop dreaming. That's it. That was brought to you by the BBC America. I don't even know who is this here. Oh, Neil Finn. Thank you, Neil Finn. Copyright issue. I don't make any money off of this. This is all public information. That song was from Madame Hillary. We say goodbye to you today. You know, it's very interesting that she is standing...
of the Wizard of Oz?
No.
Okay, and here's the junior senator from New York. Okay, maybe I was wrong.
Well, anyway, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Tom Farinella Show. Coming up on today's big program, we're going to talk about, of course, Hillary Clinton and all the gossip surrounding her unusual campaign, American apathy. What is it about American apathy? I was having a discussion with somebody about the demise of the radio industry, and it led into America because they seem to run parallel to each other. So we're going to discuss that. Then, of course, I've got to talk to you about America's energy policy, the illegal immigration plague, and, of course, well, we don't ever try to be one way. We give you a variety here. And today's variety, the New York Mets, the Belmont Stakes, and Big Brown running just up the block from the broadcast studio. So I'll tell you all about that and much, much more coming up on the program. But first, if you would like to give us a call, do so at 347-326-9037, 347-326-9037, and I will make sure that we get you on the air and we'll give you some time here to talk to us. We appreciate your listening. It would be very nice if you would give us a call at 347-326-9037. You can email me, tom at taf.com. Good to get those things right. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're moving into a new way of doing things here in the Tom Farinella Show. We're going to be intertwining some music, yes, because we are not for profit. We are not profiting off of the show. So what I'm going to do is we're going to switch in some music for break so I can keep the show fresh, give you an idea to what kinds of things that I like to listen to. Maybe you do as well. If you do, you can give us a call, and we'll be more than happy to play it for you again. This is the Tom Farinello radio program right here, Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
You took my hand, you showed me how, you promised me to be around. Uh-huh, that's right. I took your words and I believed in everything you said to me. Yeah, that's right. If someone said 3 years from now you'd be long gone, I'd stand up and punch their mouth. Cause they're all wrong. I know better. Cause you said forever and ever too little. Remember when we were such fools and so convinced and just too cool? Oh no, no, no. I wish I could touch you again. I wish I could call you a friend. I'd give anything. When someone said count the blessings now, for the long gone, I guess I just didn't know how. I was all wrong. They knew better. Till you said forever and ever, who knows? keep you locked in my head until we meet again. Until we meet again. I won't forget you, my friend. What happened? If someone said 3 years from now you'd be long gone, I'd stand up and burn them out, 'cause they're all wrong, and that last kiss I'll perish until we meet again. In time they get harder, I wish I could remember, but I keep your memory. You visit me in my sleep, my darling.
Oh my heavens. Nothing like coming back off of being away for a long while, and I am rusty. That's how my new name, because I am rusty. This is Tom Farinella, not rusty, but rusty meaning that, never mind. Oh boy, so it's hot summer day. Well, not even summer yet. We're not even here at summer, and we're supposed to have all kinds of crazy hot, humid days, and I don't know. It seems like everything nowadays is so dramatic. Have you noticed that? Everything's breaking news. Everything is life-threatening. Everything is just dramatic. You know, while I was listening to Miss Hillary speak, I was thinking to myself, how the heck did we ever get to the point we are today? How did we, as a country, I mean, think about it. I watched the HBO special on, or the mini-series, movie, whatever the heck you call it, about John Adams. I watched some of those shows, and just watching John Adams' dedication to the formation of this country, to get funding for and backing from the international community. He left his family for long periods of time. One of his sons always felt neglected because John Adams chose country over his own family. What if these people were the self-absorbed narcissists that we have today? I understand that we all live in our own world. I understand that the world is tough. But for the love of Almighty God, what would have happened if the people of this country who had character and conviction bailed? What if we didn't have the greatest generation in World War II, and they were all like the liberal, you know, liberal anti-war people in the 60s. What would have happened? Where would we be? And I'm listening to Hillary speak about this and about that and blah, blah, blah. It's about her and her and her and her and how we have to beat them, how we have to beat them, how we have to beat them. We have to take back our country. Well, take back the country from who? A democratically elected president that you don't agree with? I mean, the whole political process has become ridiculous. It's a big money-making scheme. It's pathetic. And you know what? For someone like me to be disenfranchised, who just adores politics, who I sink my teeth into it on a daily basis, to look at the system as the way that, you know, I spent 7 years in Washington during the Clinton administration. I saw the greatest spin machine in American history work right in front of my eyes. I worked on Capitol Hill, and I look at where we are today, and I wonder, what if we didn't have people who were brave? What if the abolitionists decided to give up? Where would we be? I don't know. I don't care to think about it because I look at today's generation and it's sad. It's sad. Lord knows I'm self-absorbed, but I at least stop to think once in a while about this great country and how much it saddens me to see the way things are. Ladies and gentlemen, John McCain, Barack Obama, whatever your taste is, it's irrelevant because they're both the same. At the end of the day, you're going to get the same old political policy. Now it's about winning elections. See, the difference between, you know, if you think about it, and I'm a fan of President Bush 41, and I met him. I will admit that. But the last, I hate to say this, because George Bush is still currently serving, so I can't comment on his place in history. But the last historically great president that we had was Ronald Reagan. A man who, when he gave his speech, you felt something. A man who stood up to the communists, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. I mean, you know, he had some problems as well. But if you look from Nixon to Ford, to Carter, to Reagan, to Bush, 41, to Clinton, to now, I don't know. I'm lost. Because I was raised, to believe that America is the greatest country in the world, and we shouldn't be just embarrassed to say that. Now people want everybody to like us. Oh, we have to be liked in the international world. And I don't know, and the reason why I come on is because I don't know it all. Because I think a lot of Americans are like me who are just sitting in the middle, left, right, wherever you are, you're just disgusted with whatever you have in terms of political leaders. When was the last political leader that you looked at and you felt inspired by? For me, it was Bush 41. And I'll tell you, maybe because he was a World War II veteran, his plane was knocked down, and he commenced the greatest single most successful war in American history, which was the Persian Gulf Iraqi freedom, whatever it was, the liberation of Kuwait, rather, where he was able to liberate Kuwait with 100 hours without losing a single American life. And that's a historical feat. That is absolutely astonishing. But other than that, I sit back and I look at today's political climate, and all I see is money going to campaigns, money going to billions of dollars going to the war in Iraq, which I at this point I can understand because we have to support our troops financially. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you one thing right now. At this point, to plug up funding and to cut them off would be detrimental. And to me, whether you agree with the war or not, it's a moot issue. We're there. It's happening. Would you like it to stop? Yes, but the reality is if we left tomorrow, it'd be a quagmire like no other. So let's move beyond that debate. That debate is long over. The question now is how do we sustain our own country? 18 million illegal immigrants reside here in this nation. 18 million! Doesn't bother anybody. I live in the New York City metropolitan area. They don't care. And it's not about our race is better than that race or the language or it's about the preservation of a society. The founders came here and created this nation to be a free nation under God with laws. And every time an illegal immigrant crosses the border, doesn't go back, a law is broken. If they're not apprehended and sent back, justice is certainly denied. And you know what happens? This country opened itself up to allow everyone to come here, which, you know, if that's the case, fine. But people like me, simple, ordinary people who are just trying to get by, who are in the middle of the pack, are ignored. Politicians don't speak to me. Hillary Clinton doesn't speak to me. She speaks to the people who need all kinds of things, money and whatever else. But she doesn't speak to me. She wants to make sure that every American gets health care. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what she should do? Just go to Chappaqua, sit there, and just not leave for a very long time. Because she'll be doing America more than by her continuing in the Senate or whatever else she's going to do, because at least she won't be spending gas, burning gas these days. But have you ever thought about that? What would have happened to our nation if the founders of this country decided to just go liberal, go green? Let's go green. Let's be green. It's a sham. And you know what happens? This all started because I was talking to somebody about talk radio, or radio in general. Why is radio so removed why isn't there a personal touch, like local shows anymore? And it's because what happens is the American consumer chooses big versus small. It's the reason why we don't have hardware stores anymore. It's the reason why we don't have local radio shows anymore. For the love of God, it's the reason why we don't even have a local bookstore anymore. Because what happened is Home Depot was able to come into the market, flood the market, and take it over because consumers allowed it. And that's the problem with the argument about corporations. Corporations have done nothing wrong but offer a product that the consumers themselves have ingested. And by their virtue of ingesting it and taking it, that's the reason why corporations have been successful. It's not the corporation's fault. It's not Walmart's fault if they decide to go to China and get goods that are cheaper to make and what have you and sell them here. It's capitalism. It's the consumer's fault. And that's because Americans don't have anything to fight for. The only thing that Americans care about is their daily lives, which is fine. than the bigger picture. Apathy, an apathetic populace, will set off problems like no other. If you thought 9/11 was a wake-up call, which I thought it was, I'm now worried. Because what I thought was once a wake-up call that I was quite confident at one point could never happen again, because the American people would now, for once and for all, be wide-eyed. I'm troubled more than I've ever been. We have fanatics out there who hate this country, who hate our way of life, who want to kill us. We have a presidential election where we have a guy who has, I don't know, it's just, we are just on a very slippery slope to destruction. And unless we have a white knight that comes and rescues this country, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. And that's why I decided to mix music into the show, because, you know, these daunting truths must be revealed. And if I have to reveal them, it's somewhat depressing. Maybe at least I can get some entertainment for you people, which is music. But the more we sit back and allow and do nothing. The more likely we are to just disappear. We are. I don't know how to. You know, I don't have all the answers. I don't, and that's the reason why I'm here today. I'm speaking to you because perhaps maybe you have some answers. You can give us a call here. The Tom Farinella Show, we're headed straight till 4 o'clock. Right now it's 347 is the phone number, rather. 347-326-9037. 347-326-9037. I don't understand. I just don't get many things anymore. And, you know, I look at a nation that did so much to get to a certain point, and we are stuck. And it's not George Bush's fault, ladies and gentlemen. It's not George Bush's fault. Let's take, for example, this Congress. This Congress, who is current, we viewed, or their current approval rating is 18%. Remember, the two members of that Congress, both Barack Obama and John McCain, are coming out of the most unpopular Congress to run for president. It was Hillary Clinton, but she's not there as of today. But you understand? We have a Congress. Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and all the rest of those people on Capitol Hill, and Harry Reid and all these great Democrats, Chuck Schumer. What have they done? What have they? They haven't even been able to pass legislation to send to the president. What have they done? Nothing. They draw a salary. Hillary Clinton drew a salary. Barack Obama drew a salary. John McCain draws a salary, and they spend the time on a campaign trail. The career politician is pathetic. And what do they do? Nothing but demagogue and give speeches. It's pathetic. It's pathetic that in the year 2008, we do not have a single formidable candidate running for president of the United States that actually stands for something. I mean, you saw what happened when we voted for the lesser of two evils in 2000 and 2004. Say what you will about it. Unfortunately, George W. Bush just buckled. He buckled and buckled and buckled, and I don't know why. I don't get it, but whatever. It's over and done with. But the lesser of two evils, how can we sit back as a country and trust the fate of the nation with a man who has 2 years in the Senate and the remaining portion of the Senate career, he's been running for president, so what does he know about anything? Because he's been a community leader? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He offers nothing. 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 At least with the Republicans, I don't know. You know, John McCain offers nothing either. They're not thinkers, great American thinkers. They're not people who are going to make decisions that are hard, because tough decisions usually are made by people who have a backbone. Neither one of them have a backbone. You know, Obama quit smoking because, you know, it looks bad. Well, if you really want to smoke, go ahead and smoke. Oh, Michelle Obama had to quit smoking because when Obama announced the president, make sure we put up an appearance. And then the thing that gets me is this guy decides not to wear a lapel flag. Right, and all of a sudden he's going before a group to speak to a group of people about Israel, and all of a sudden he has an Israel American flag. He is dangerous. He is a false. He's an illusion. He's an illusion. This guy, everything that Jeremiah Wright said, I believe Obama subscribes to or even remotely relates to it. I don't think there's a separation. Separate the message from the messenger. Thank God you got rid of one crook, Hillary Clinton. I mean, she hides her whole life up until this point with one big joke, one big facade, making believe with her pathetic husband who's grown bitter and angry because he can't get his way. And John McCain, what is that? You know, the only thing I give John McCain is that the guy served as a war hero. I can give him that to his credit. Probably the last great war hero we'll have in the White House. And at this point, what is politics going to end up being? You know, the country's not going to sustain. How can it? But getting back to my point, so what I was talking about with talk radio, the reason why talk radio is no longer, or radio shows, because it's cheaper for countries or big companies that have stations throughout the country to hire one guy and syndicate his program and hire 100, 200, or 300 different local hosts. It's economical. That's because the people and the listeners allow it. What's happening is the market is developing down to one thing, two things. There are some markets in the country like Minnesota where you still have a choice, thank God. You still have many radio, you know, here in New York, you have two stations if you like news talk radio, WOR and WABC. WABC is all syndicated one basically all day long. I mean, they have this guy, the local guy, Curtis Sliwa, who comes on from 5 to 6 and then 10 to 11:45. But other than that, they have more on Don Imus. They have Rush and then Hannity and then Levin and then Ingram and then Bob Grant from 6 to 8, which, you know, is a local dose of 8 to 10, rather, which is a local dose of genius. But other than that, nothing else. It's all one big syndicated program. WOR, it's the same thing, basically. I mean, they have a local morning show, which is John Gambling, great. And then you have Joan Hainberg, who talks about, lifestyle things. Then you have her now, which is different. O'Reilly till 2, Miller to 4. They have a lot of Steve Malzberg, 4. Savage, and else comes after that, Joy Brown, which is recorded, and some doctor, and they have a live, which is the Joey Reynolds show. So but it's just it's two choices. And the WFAN, which is the sports station, and then 1050 ESPN, which is the sports station, ABC, so it's basically networks running. Off, but whatever. Not that. Then you have the CBS 8-10-10. I mean, other than that, you're not dealing with anything more than syndicated talk shows. There's nothing of substance. There really is nothing of substance. And so, what do you do with that? I don't know. You tell me. So, what I was saying is that's like America is becoming one big syndicated, company because everything is becoming syndicated. Home Depot is now syndicated. You can't go into a Home Depot and buy a nail. You have to buy 4,000 nails in a box. I remember as a kid, you go to a store and the guy had a bucket of nails for 5 cents. You could buy a nail. Now everybody needs to build a house in an afternoon. Some people just need to hang a picture, and they don't feel like buying 4,000 nails. And whatever else, used to have local video stores, now Blockbuster. That's it. Blockbuster comes in and they take over. Local businesses don't exist like they once used to, because consumers are driven by price. And that's what markets are. That's what capitalism is. But if the consumers wanted these places to stay and they chose to pay a little bit more, then they would be able to go to these little stores and do it. And those little stores would survive. But they choose not that. They choose the cost of it. Can you blame them? I don't know. But it's not about what we're experiencing in this country. It's not about any entity other than the American person, the individual. That's what it is. The individual is the one who's responsible for everything. Gas prices. If somehow people just decided not to drive, and the gas station had an over influx of oil, they would be of gas. They'd be forced They would be forced to lower their price, wouldn't they? And that's what we're going to get into when we come back from the Tom Farinella Show. If you want to give us a call, you could do that. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Show, 347-326-9037. We're talking to you live from New York, just moments, minutes away from the Belmont Stakes, where Bill Big Brown is going for a triple crown. I don't know. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away. This is the Tom Farinella Radio Program right here at Blog Talk Radio.
Right to you. That's a big squeeze for me. Just a little pill now. Just try to go to sleep. I'm waking up.
Hold on 1 second.
To say hello to Hesitant to M.
We don't want that song either. Let's try this one. There we go. Tom Farinella here. Tom Farinella Radio Program. We'll be right back. Coming up, we're going to talk about our energy policy, immigrants, and a New York bank. This is Tom Farinella. BlogTalkRadio.com.
Go ahead as you waste your days with thinking. When you're full, everyone can. Another day and you've had your fill of thinking. With the life held in your hands are shaking cold. These hands are meant to hold. Faith to faith. All you gotta keep is strong. Move along, and I got no yes to. And even when your hope is gone, move along, got to make it through. Move along. When you've lost yourself completely, could be a night in your life, and not the heart that will lead you to deceiving. All the pain held in your hands are shaking cold. Your hands are mine to hold. Make you me. All you gotta keep is strong. Gotta keep it strong, move along like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, just to make it through. When all you gotta keep is strong, move along, move along. Move along, just to make it through. All you gotta keep it strong. Move along, like I know you should. What?
the Tom Farinella.
Hello and welcome back to the Tom Farinella radio program right here at blogtalkradio.com. I am Tom Farinella. I don't know if you can tell what this song is. That's right, Far. They're coming far. They're traveling boats. They're coming on boats and planes and whatever else Neil Diamond says in that song. The immigrants. You know, and this is not about an immigration issue. But it is about an immigration issue, because that's what it is. It's about illegal immigration. Legal immigration is fine. Bring anybody who wants to come here legally. I have no problem with legal immigration. But I cannot stomach for one more second. What I cannot stomach for one more pathetic second is illegal immigration. I can't. The entitlement that these people think that they have is beyond contempt. Lord knows that nobody would dare go into another foreign nation and say that they're going to be there illegally and they're going to exploit the system. It wouldn't last for 2 seconds. If you went to France, if you went to England, if you went to Mexico, or wherever else you decided to plant your ass in some other country, it wouldn't make a god darn bit of difference because you'd be thrown out faster than you would know it. That's right. I don't give a rip then or a winkle about sensitivity anymore. The Spanish should be banned, and we should speak one language, one culture, one nation under God. We're Americans. No. Even today, I'm driving New York, everybody has their Puerto Rican flags, whatever parade was being done today. Now, he's being racist. He's being bigoted. No, I'm not being. I don't get it. When do we have American marches? When do we march in the streets for being Americans? You know, this separating of the culture is a modern-day form of segregation. I don't get it. This way of life, by each person having their own flag and having their own parade and their own cultural awareness, is segregating the culture. It's moving the country back 100 years, for God's sakes. Everybody thinks this political correctness bull. Be really great if people marched in the name of Old Glory, wouldn't it? It would be superb. It would be mind-blowing, wouldn't it? If we just wanted to march because we're Americans today. It's deafening. It's deafening. It doesn't matter really anymore, because the people who love this country are going to be out-silenced by the people who just want to exploit America and take whatever America has and use it and give nothing back. Raise a family. My father and mother asked, why don't you have a family? Well, I'll tell you why I don't have a family. You want me to raise a family in this day and age? What, so if, God forbid, that in the event that I have a white male, the movement and the advancement that he's going to be suppressed. I barely got through. Our priorities in this country is not about being Americans. It's about being minorities and how can we, and voting blocks, and how can the politicians appease them, and everything's about appeasement and political correctness and not hurting anybody's feelings and everything being okay, kumbaya, because as long as we have the way we want it, that's it. It doesn't work like that because the political structure is governed or is in control of the elite. Barbara Boxer, Obama, Hillary, they're all elite. They're all millionaires. You realize that? The income of the United States Congress is not less than the median income member, $617,000. The United States Senate, $1 million. Now, how? You tell me how. In a public service job where they're not supposed to make more than $250,000, whatever the heck it is, how are they earning so much money? Because I'll tell you one thing. Most of those people did not come into Congress wealthy. But they're going to leave millionaires. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, who has everybody's interest at heart, flies around the country in her own plane, but yet she's going to lecture us on global warming? Al Gore, the size of Colorado, and he's going to lecture me on global warming? I'll tell you one thing, ladies and gentlemen. At least the Republicans, you see what you get. They're rich white men, most of them, who want to make money and enjoy being rich. And they're not afraid of it. And they're not ashamed of it. It's a hell of a lot better to know what you get than Democrats who hide behind the mantra of being for the people. Are you kidding me? Do you think these people, when was the last time any of these people drove them? You know, this is what I was thinking about. I was listening, another thing I was thinking about. I was listening to Hillary Clinton as I was coming in today. And I said, what last time she owned a car? In between the time that she left the White House and she ran for the Senate, she could drive her own car. No. She gets chauffeured around by Secret Service escorts because people, oh, she's the former First Lady. Big deal. The Bushes let go of their Secret Service when they left the White House. They said, you're free. You're relieved of duty. Have a nice day. Not the Clintons. No. They want to take as much as they possibly can. And I am thrilled. I couldn't be more thrilled than that two-bit hack senator from New York, the junior senator from New York, was beat. And she's a throwback. So they go back to her little Senate now and what? Wait another 4 years. By that point, she's going to be yesterday's news and washed up. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. We'll see you later, sweetie. Catch you on the next round. It's amazing, too, because I was reading a speech from Obama yesterday or some statement or whatever, and he was saying something about his children can take for granted that a black man was the president. All of a sudden, in her speech today, her daughter, Chelsea, can take for granted that she went to segregated schools or some nonsense. It's all recycled nonsense. Don't you understand that? Don't you get it? Don't look for these people to do anything for you. The only person that's going to do anything for you is probably, well, I know for a fact, but I won't scare 90% of you. All of you listening, because if you are listening, we would like to hear from you. But the only real person that can help you at this point is God. 347-326-9037. God is the only one that can actually do anything for you. Your faith in him, he's proven over the years. Hillary Clinton, nada. Barack Obama, nada. John McCain, nada. They're not going to do a single thing for you. All they're going to do is bolster themselves. These are not people for the people and by the people. These are people for themselves, by themselves, with the interest of sustaining themselves. John McCain might have an inkling of patriotism in him, like I said, because he was but as far as Obama and Hillary, she talked today about breaking the glass ceiling. Well, guess what? The glass ceiling is really going to break because they're illusory. They're see-through. They're a facade behind God only knows what, and that's what scares me. See, the problem is you really don't know how these people think. Now we see Bill Clinton for who he is now. Now we get an off-the-camera comment about a reporter who didn't say something nice about him or didn't do what he's supposed to do and kiss his ass, so he calls him a scumbag. That's Bill Clinton. That's Bill Clinton. Uncensored. That's who he is. I like that Bill Clinton much better than anybody else. I knew you. I actually felt like I was listening to a man who was giving an honest reaction. Good for him. God damn it. Right? Good for him. Good for him. He was pissed. He was ticked off about the fact that somebody wrote bad stuff about him, especially about being Dee Dee Meyer's husband, and he gave an honest reaction. There you go. About probably the first honest reaction he's ever had. Oh, other than the standing of Monica's dress, that was a pretty honest reaction, right? Yeah. Oh, God. You can sit here all day long and you can go over this junk. And it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. Tom Farinella, blogtalkradio.com, the Tom Farinella Radio Show. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
I'm crying here. What have you done? I thought it would be fun. I can't stay on your life support. There's a shortage in the switch. I can't stay on your morphine, cause it's making me ill. I've been trying to fall on earth again, but you've been a little bit. I think I'll get out of here. Well, I can run to the fastest I can. To the middle of nowhere. To the middle of my frustrated fears. And I swear, you're just like a hell. Should have made maybe I should get some help. I can't stay on your life support. There's a shortage in the quit. I can't stay on your morphine, cause it's making me ill. I've been trying to call the nurse again, but she's been a little bit. I think I'll get out of here. Where I can run to the fastest I can. To the middle of nowhere. Keep making me hell. You keep making me hell.
on your life support. There's a shortage in the switch. I can't stay on your morphine, cause it's making me ill. I've been trying to call the nurse again, but she's been a little bit. I think I'll get out of here. Making me better, you're making me ill.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show. Apparently, we accidentally got bumped off the line. So, for those of you who need the Tom Farinella Radio Show, let's do it all over again.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Tom Farrell.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tom Farinella Radio Show. We're waiting for a guest to call in. 347-326-9037. Call that number now. All right, we're here live, the Tom Farinella Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com. This is, yes, let's go right now to our live guest. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, look, what is that? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Farinella Show?
Yes, hello. This is the Tom Farinella Show.
Hello. How are you today?
We're very good.
So
let's reveal who you are. How's that?
My name is Gus, and I'm calling from New York.
Yes, and what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, I basically was listening to Mrs. Clinton's speech regarding her exit in the 2008 presidential Democratic nomination. And it was quite interesting that she finally looked relieved, Hillary, as if some kind of a deal had been cut. And I found it very surprising that she came out in such strong support of Obama, yet she failed to mention McCain once in her speech. Could there be something going on here, Tom?
Well, you remember when Hillary came to New York with Mr. McCain, they were seemed to be buddying up to one another. So, you know what? And not only that, I think that she may realize the $11.5 million she gave to her campaign might actually be coming back now.
Well, so, you know, I was thinking to myself, on one hand, you know, she has 18 million voters out there. Of those 18 million voters, you know, the press and the Clinton campaign tried to convince lots of people that of those 18 million voters, many of them were, I don't know what they were calling them, these middle-class, working white people. Is she going to be able to convert those people over to Obama?
No.
Or is McCain going to enjoy the crossover and ultimately get those votes? And is Hillary Clinton going to be acquiescive, or is she going to be aggressive or offensive, you know, in getting out there and helping Obama capture those voters?
No.
Is she up to something here or what?
Well, let's put it this way. She has to go fall in line at this point, because in the event that Obama doesn't win, she still probably is looking towards the next cycle to run again, which would be 2012. So she has to make sure that she stays in line with the Democratic establishment to ensure that she's taken seriously in 2012. But
isn't that really the issue here? Don't we really have a candidate who doesn't want Obama to win anything?
No,
that she
absolutely
wants to walk around with this big medal of 18 million votes on her neck, and she wants to acquiesce, pretend she's helping Obama, but know, and you know the Clintons with their code words, and you know that getting McCain elected is probably her last shot at becoming president herself, or at least becoming the nominee in 2012, so she can tell the Democratic Party and all of America, see, I told you you should have nominated me. And how much of this is all theatrics? I mean, can you really get away with theatrics at such high levels of power here? Can she really be playing the game here?
Well, like I heard one political commentator say today, she's going to do the bare minimum that she's required to do as the runner-up to being the presumptive nominee, and she's not going to go any further.
Well, but, you know, and I was listening to Rush Limbaugh last week, and he made a point about what Hillary didn't say and what, you know, and he went through each word, each sentence, and he made some great points about the things that she left out and the way she worded her speech. Has this speech been fully analyzed yet by some good political gurus who can give us some insight on what's really going on in the psyche of the, and I call it, I say the Clintons, not just Hillary, because Hillary's not alone, obviously. If you get Hillary, you get Billary.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. Well, it was a Saturday afternoon, so half the reason why she probably did it was because the speech wouldn't bear that much scrutiny from the major networks, and she'd be on stage all by herself because really nothing else is going on except the Belmont Stakes with the Triple Crown. So,
which happens to be in her own home state of New York, which you think she would be in New York to help promote such a great event and help, you know, put the spotlight on New York and Long Island. But she's in Washington, D.C. at her mansion. She met with Obama at her mansion the other night, didn't she?
Actually, it was Dianne Feinstein's mansion, because Dianne Feinstein said that she had a room that could accommodate a private conversation between Hillary and Obama. I mean, it's the whole thing's a joke. I was saying before that we're dealing with a group of people who are nothing but elite millionaires.
Dianne Feinstein is somewhat, even though she's a California lefty, she as a Democrat, I find she can be quite conservative when it comes to certain issues, and you find her not necessarily walking in step with Republicans, but she certainly gets along with them.
They all get along together. I mean, really and truly, think about it. Right now, the Congress is viewed as 18% approval rating. Three members of that body, which has the lowest approval rating in American history, are candidates for president of the United States. What the hell does that say about this country?
And what does it say about each of them distancing themselves or trashing the current president? It's incredible when you think about it.
They have a worse, their body that they sit in has a worse approval rating than George W. Bush, and nobody wants to say anything. Nobody says anything about it. The whole thing's a joke.
And
really,
you know, and the other thing that drives me crazy here is that it's wholly possible that a deal was cut between the Obama camp and the Hillary Gestapo, like if you saw Harold Ickes cursing last Saturday on TV, and then you heard about Bill Clinton cursing on TV or in a memo this week. If there is a secret deal, when would that sort of a deal surface itself? I mean, is that something that you just have to wait on, or is the
you know, during every presidential election, everybody eagerly awaits the month in which I was born, October, because there's something known as the October surprise. And apparently there's this alleged video out with Michelle Obama using some harsh terms towards white people, referring to white people in a very racially divisive manner. And I think they're all – that I, you know, listen – she's hanging in for one reason, and the reason is she knows something more than we know, and she ain't going anywhere because she knows that the stuff is about to hit the fan at one point or another, and it could damage the credibility of Obama severely, especially if Michelle Obama is on national, you know, is on at the pulpit of the church in which, you know, he never knew of his pastor's sermons, which is another whole farce. You know, giving a derogatory sermon on white people—it could be very damaging.
But I mean, really, the issue of Reverend Wright and of all these other shady characters. I mean, is it really? I mean, I understand that there's a question of judgment and all that kind of stuff. But let's face it: Reverend Wright is a preacher. Reverend Wright has 8,000 constituents or 8,000 members of the church there that. Over the last 20 years or 30 years or whatever number of years he's been preaching, there's been a lot of good done. So why are we only speaking about, you know, some of the racy or over-the-top commentary, which is really just probably in the grand scheme of things, 1% or 2% or maybe 5% of what this man has accomplished? I mean, is it really going to affect Obama in the end? Can Americans really put that aside? Or do you really think this is going to cause Americans to say, I'm not going to vote for this man because of Reverend Wright or because of Bill Ayers or because of Father Flager? Flatcher?
I think it's a culmination of things. First of all, the fact that Reverend Wright is so anti-American and says God.
But what evidence do we have of that?
Well, he says God, you know what, America?
Goddamn America! He said, "Goddamn America!" But you know, I mean, we all say that.
What though? The America he wants to damn, the people of his church or however he got it, gave him $1 million mansion that he sits in.
Well, but I've been upset at my country, and
I've said,
God darn it, you know, I feel like I haven't gotten a fair shake. The government's giving me a hard time, or my taxes are too high, or regulation is too staggering on small business. I mean, you know, these are black people who have struggled to make their way in the world. And I wonder if they're really not just, if there's not more hype here than real hate.
No, there's genuine hype. They despise white people, and they despise America because they think America has betrayed them, and it's a joke.
I just have a hard time believing. I mean, I respect your opinion, but I have a hard time believing that the American, that these people, you know, these members of this church and whatnot, that they hate America. Or that they might feel somewhat disenfranchised, but hating America—that's a whole other story.
But do you realize everything that guy Reverend Wright was saying in his sermons is an oxymoron because of the fact that a black man is the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party? That in and of itself shows that America has moved towards a diverse country where the Secretary Condoleezza Rice was the first black national security advisor, where Colin Powell was the first black Secretary of State. We've had, you know, I mean, so this whole notion that black people are disenfranchised, the barriers are being broken as we speak. And by Obama's winning this nomination in and of itself, it is indicative that racism and the charge of racism is starting to lose its effect.
Yeah.
If we were truly a racist nation, Mr. Obama wouldn't be the presumptive Democratic nominee.
Well, I agree with that statement. Well,
so the, you know what the problem is? In and of itself, by the liberals having a black member who's a member of a protected class, the presumptive nominee, in and of itself starts dwindling away their arguments of disenfranchisement. Now, the problem you have is that this guy's a dangerous fascist who wants to control the country and use it for his own personal gain.
Yeah, well, I think we have different opinions here, because it's something about Obama that I do like, and that's the notion that if you clean house and you start fresh with all these Democrats, you're going to have a Democratic Senate, a Democratic House, and a Democratic White House. And, you know, people will see. In 48 months, that's only 4 years, let's see what they can do. The first term of Congress will be two, and then another two. Well, let's see what they can do, all three units together. They'll get nothing done.
Look at what the two units, the House and the Senate, have gotten accomplished since Nancy Pelosi proclaimed that she was going to take over the Congress with Harry Reid, and they were going to make all kinds of changes. They were going to bring the troops home. They were going to raise taxes. They were going to, you know, they were going to give health care to everybody. And look at where we're at. They have done nothing.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're going right back to 1976 when Jimmy Carter got elected, because you know what ended up happening? You think the gas is bad now. Wait till this guy gets in the White House and he starts pissing off Pakistan and everybody else. It's going to be a nightmare. And all the liberals are going to be screaming, what? It's all George Bush's fault for the next 4 years.
But and the other thing is, isn't the first day in office as president the first day of the next election for the president?
Absolutely. Especially this guy, because, you know, he's going to be under a tremendous amount of scrutiny.
Do you think the politics has taken a turn at this point in that now we have a different type of a presidency where, and I'm talking about today, I'm talking about this next inauguration, where we're going to have a president that is not going to be concerned about re-election and get down to business? Do you think the American people are going to demand that? Or do you think we're going to have the same old, same old?
No. Earlier in my program, I was talking about the apathy of America. It all ties together. Why aren't there any more Home Depots? I'll tell you why.
Any more who?
Any more Home Depots. Because Americans allow big companies to come in, and instead of getting one nail, you have to buy 4,000 nails. But that's okay to Americans. They continue to go there. Okay, so if Americans stayed in their local communities and supported their local hardware stores and paid, you know, 5 cents for a nail more than what they pay at the Home Depot, which you can get a nail for the rest of your life if you're not building a house, you know, then you'd have local hardware stores.
Oh, I understand that. But, you know, there's lots of arguments on that note. I mean, the local hardware store can only employ so many people. Home Depot can employ hundreds or, if not thousands, hundreds in one store maybe. So I understand where you're coming from. And I used to believe that it was better to go to the local hardware store until I would go to the local hardware store and find out that the local hardware store was giving me no better service than Home Depot or anybody else, and I'm paying more. And I don't know. It's a struggle because you want to try to support the local store and you want to try to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, it's very difficult to do that when on every other block, you know, there's a Home Depot. I mean, there's a Home Depot on 23rd Street with a concierge.
Well, that's the point, though. The problem is if you're going into Home Depot, though, you know, not everybody wants to build a house.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't buy a nail.
Yeah.
I remember being able to go on my bike and ride on my bike and go get a lug nut.
Yeah.
One lug nut. And they had a guy had a basket, the hardware guy with the one who was missing his thumb.
Yeah, we bought my mom's first one of her cars from the hardware store. It was a diesel Oldsmobile from the hardware store owner who had been there for 30 years.
Yeah. I mean,
George,
you know,
I'll never forget him.
Now you gotta buy a box of 4,000 lugs or nuts or nails.
Yeah.
Who needs them? Then what? You have more stuff in your house you don't need.
What amazes me is that in Manhattan, where real estate is really sold by the inch, if I were to stock myself up with the Home Depot toilet paper, I wouldn't have any room to enjoy my apartment. Now I'm paying $600 a square foot to store paper towels and toilet paper, and I saved $8 at the end of the day.
But the point of it, going back to what we're talking about, it's like local talk radio doesn't exist because big consumer markets come in, big corporations, and they take the market and they give the market what the people will take. If nobody listened to their syndicated shows, then the market demanded local talk radio. It wouldn't give the power to corporations. That's why when these liberals talk about the corporations are evil. No, the corporations aren't evil. It's the people who are supporting the corporations that give the corporations their life. The corporations are just capitalizing on a free market. That's normal.
Yeah.
But the liberals want to blame the corporations. It's like Walmart. Well, if Walmart could go to China and get goods for much cheaper, and sell them for cheaper, and people go and buy them, that's people's choice.
Wasn't Hillary on the board of Walmart?
She was on the board of Walmart, sure was. She sure was.
And I meant to ask you a question. It seems like I'm interviewing you here. But the question I have for you is, there was a story I read recently about Obama's connection with Mr. Resco.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other thing.
But I'm just interested. You think there's going to be, because his house was next door to a vacant land and he sold to Mrs. Resco a piece of land from the house, and is this going to be another Whitewater? Are we going to go through another real estate deal with the President of the United States if he becomes president? I mean, are they really going to harass this man, or are they going to let him do his work? I mean, if he becomes president, when he becomes president, seems to me, Are we just going to let him try to do his job instead of bogging him down with investigations and allegations and recriminations and negotiations and situations? Why not just live with it? Like Hillary did today, allegedly, she backed down and said, okay, let the man do his work. Or are we going to destroy the next president, even if it's McCain or Obama? Why do we have to destroy our presidents from the minute they become presidents?
I don't know. It's beyond me. But today in Washington...
But, I mean, if a guy is elected, you might as well let him get his earned salary.
He's not going to get... Well, that's... please. That whole thing's another joke. But the salary that's employed, you know, Obama has been in the Senate 2 years. He starts running for president after his second year in office. You know,
he's been nominated by the Democratic Party. So whatever he's done or not done, he did something right.
Yeah, but you know, listen, the only thing to his credit, which he keeps on repeating, is that he's a community leader. Big deal. The guy, the guy has no understanding of foreign policy.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, at this point, what we're discussing at this point, if I may, what you're doing here is you're comparing him. You might as well be comparing him to the other candidate, who's done everything. I mean, he's done so much, and I don't think he can walk around the block. I think he's too old. I think he's much. But you're going to see Hillary. She's never going to criticize his age, because Hillary's either going to run for president.
How can you?
Well, but Hillary can't, because she's going to be running for president between the age of 65 and 70.
Yeah, but also ageism is a very, very big topic in today's society about how people above 60 years old can't get jobs and they're discriminated against on a daily basis. So what, we're going to discriminate? We can't discriminate against Obama because of the color of his skin. You can't discriminate against Hillary because of her gender. She's a female. You can't discriminate against McCain because of his age, because
you can't go to the polls and make people vote for McCain if they think he's too old. You can't force them to vote for McCain because it would be discriminatory otherwise. I mean, what about there's probably more people that wouldn't vote for Obama because he's black than there are people who wouldn't vote for McCain because he's old.
Right. So the argument is moot, but they're not going to talk about his age. If anything, the problem is they're going to stay away from the guy's age because it shows he has experience. Obama, who has no experience. I mean,
well, the other thing is, people said that, you know, during the 1992 elections, when Bill Clinton was debating Papa Bush, 41, who I happen to one of my heroes, but in any event, maybe not the greatest president in history, maybe a guy that was cheated by history. There's lots of ways you can look at 41. But when Bill Clinton was debating him around the country, Bill Clinton was criticized, and not enough, as he should have been, for not referring to the president as Mr. President. He was referring to him.
That's
the disrespect in the Clintons. They just have
But it's a communist mentality. You know what I'm saying? You know, take away the honor and make people think he's a mister and he's not the president of the United States. And,
right.
You know,
and that was all George Stephanopoulos and the other Nazi.
Who now is an objective news reporter on ABC. But the reality is, you know, you get a guy like Obama, Pakistan right now is in shambles because they don't know what to do. They're petrified because this guy said he's going to invade Pakistan, a democratic sovereign nation. At this point, because and they don't know what to do.
Well, Obama made two mistakes. He threatened to invade Pakistan if Osama was found there. But the other mistake he made was that he said he would sit down and talk with Iran. Well, it seems to me that if we have word that Osama or Bin Laden is in the Pakistan mountainous region, we should be sitting down and having diplomatic talks with Pakistan to convince them to allow us to invade, rather than really discussing the issue of being diplomatic with Iran. So I think Obama is going to be working on changing his foreign policy a little, because it is a little bit immature. I mean, he just doesn't have the experience. But he certainly...
Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was just in Japan telling the Japanese to imagine life without America. do you understand this little twerp is a psychotic psychopath?
Well,
who wants to see the elimination of Israel in the United States?
Well, but he has the same. I think he has the same qualities as any crazy dictator, and ultimately history will judge him as such. I mean,
and then if you go invade the guy's country, oh, you're picking on. Well, the guy said he wants to eliminate Israel. Yeah, if you're not preemptive, you're going to end up what?
But let me ask you, why can't Israel? Israel could take the whole country of Iran out tomorrow.
Well, they're seriously contemplating whether or not they're going to take out their nuclear facilities, and they're going to launch an air assault.
But why do we have to be the ones to pay for all this?
Because Israel is our strongest ally in the Middle East, and we are brothers with Israel in the Middle East because they need us to survive because these people will not allow them to live peacefully. They refuse to allow the Israelis to live peacefully. They want more and more and more. You give them the Gaza Strip, they destroyed everything that was built over the years that the Israelis put there in the Gaza Strip. Now they want more, and they want more. You know what it's like sitting in Israel?
What happened?
The guy walking in with a bomb to blow up the cafe on a daily basis, being on a bus and not knowing the bus is going to blow up. What kind of life is this?
But that's never going to end.
It's jihad.
That's never going to end. That's not something that we can end. I'm sorry. I feel that we can end poverty in the United States. I feel we can end the high dropout rate of our young minority kids or even our white middle class kids. We can end homelessness. We can end the fact that people have to go to an emergency room to get health care. We can end lots of the problems right here at home on our land. But can we end Palestine and Israel from killing each other? I mean, how are we going to do this? We're not even there.
We are there.
I mean, our troops are there, giving their arms, their legs, their lives. For what? You know, the war is becoming so unpopular that people think we should build a fence around our country. If you remember, Buchanan was an isolationist during the 88 and the 92 presidential elections. People said he's crazy, he's nuts. Well, maybe he wasn't so crazy in those days. I mean, how much policing in the world can we do from America? It's really a difficult catch-22.
Well, like I said earlier today, the war is there. Now we have to deal with it. Whether it's a good idea or not, it has to be dealt with. And more importantly, the people, you can't leave. So you have to ride out the wave.
Forget about the war. I mean, at this point, the war is the war. We're not going anywhere. So whether Obama's president or McCain's president...
Until Americans start taking their own lives by their own bootstraps and doing for themselves, we will never, ever have success in this country. This country, you know, I was listening to Hillary speak about, abolitionists and all this other stuff. I was thinking about, you know, how she never mentioned the greatness of this country and the history and how we got to this point and all this the stuff that it's important. And I wonder if people like John Adams and Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin didn't have the fortitude and the determination and the guts to pursue their instincts, where would we be?
You have to remember something about Hillary Clinton, and this is a very important point.
But wait, hold on one second.
Let me add to what you're saying.
But wait, well, and then if we go into the 20th century with World War I and World War II.
Hillary doesn't want to mention George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, and John Adams because they're white men. Hillary wants to talk about the issues that drive Hillary, which are women herself, making a woman the nominee, having 18 million votes. She wants to now also include, which she previously never included, the fact that it's brilliant or wonderful that we can have a nominee in the Democratic Party or any party that is a black man. So we have these wonderful achievements, but she forgets the foundation of how we were built. She forgets the men and women that died in the Civil War, the men mainly that fought over the drafting of the Constitution, with the women having a voice back at the homestead. In fact, John Adams, most of his influence came from his wife, Mrs. Adams, who was a brilliant.
He sacrificed his family for country.
But when he was home with Mrs. Adams, she played a role in how he would shape his contribution to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the running of our government. My point is though Hillary only wants to pick out, you know, the issue of abolitionists and issues of Susan B. Anthony and talk about, you know, those issues, because that's really what Hillary's about. Hillary. She doesn't want to talk about the founding fathers. She doesn't want to remind people that it was really a white group of men that came from the shores of England to America to start a new life and to have freedom of religion and freedom of press. I mean, you have to give everybody credit.
We don't have bravery anymore. We don't have.
Yeah, but I also don't hear people talk. I do not hear people talk enough about how many blacks died in the Civil War. I mean, blacks. If you watch John Adams, if you read John Adams' book, he'll tell you that blacks built the White House.
Okay, that's right. We understand that, but
Hillary doesn't want to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about that either. But I'll tell you what I do want to talk about. Nobody cares about anything anymore. There are no more leaders. You don't look at these people and are inspired. You're de inspired. The people of our early days, you know, what about the men and women who went to D-Day? They were taken out one at a time, thousands and thousands. Not one of these people were on TV mentioning D-Day.
Have you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof?
No, I haven't seen Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, Fiddler on the Roof is an interesting story. It's about a Jewish couple. I don't know if they were in Poland or Russia. In Russia. And it was really about a poor family, and they had like six daughters or five daughters or whatever, and they married each daughter off, and one daughter married a Jew, and the other daughter didn't marry a Jew, and the one that didn't marry a Jew upset the family and all this. And so there was a discussion about breaking from family tradition and from race and whatnot. But the government had come in, the Tsar, I guess, at those days, came in and moved all the Jews and said, "You got to get out of here." Pack everything up, and their whole village had to be packed up. They built themselves a little life, and they're out in the middle of nowhere. And it's profound because, A, the movie talked about how one daughter went outside and was marrying a non-Jew. That was a big issue in those days, back 100 years ago, whatever it was. And then the other issue was to come into a community and say, all right, everybody pack up and get out. I mean, imagine that. It reminds me of 9/11 on the day those towers hit, and I had to pack my bags and leave. And I wouldn't leave.
That's exactly it. You see, the problem is, I thought after 9/11 the country would actually wake up, and it wouldn't take, you know, as dramatic as 9/11 was, in terms of D-Day and other major historical events, the fatalities, weren't 50,000. I mean, 3,000 was more than enough. But the point is, at least we might be able to get away to see that we need to change our ways and become Nobody cares anymore. Everything goes back to a pre-9/11 mentality.
Well, when people want to talk about the war, they forget to mention, they say that we haven't accomplished anything. They seem to forget that there was a man hanged by his own people for slaughtering, 500,000 children and women?
Oh,
by chemical gas? Nobody mentions that.
But you see, let me tell you one thing about... Everybody, you could knock George Bush from here to Cheyenne, but you know what they say in their little holes over there? They talk about each other. They say, listen, stay away. This guy's a crazy Texan. He took Saddam's country. Ahmadinejad's getting to Osama, saying, Osama, stay calm. Otherwise, he's going to take my country next. He took Saddam's country over in overnight. And that's what they're waiting for.
Afghanistan's been a tremendous success, even though it's been difficult. I mean, the Taliban, I don't think people realize what the Taliban was and what the Osama regime was all about. I don't think people really understand. If people really are worried about, and again, I get back to the point of taking care of ourselves, the Europeans and other parts of the world, they don't really care, but they don't really realize what it is to have 500,000 women and children gassed to death. I mean, that's genocide, isn't it? Hitler-like tactics?
But France is a good example. When the Muslims started burning the city, look what happened. The French people were petrified, and they finally elected a conservative who spoke about French nationalism, Sarkozy, who said, "I'm a Frenchman who loves this, loves my country."
And he has love for women like Bill Clinton did.
That's okay, but you know what, though? The fact of the matter is, you know what? Under his rule, these people are going to be burning the streets. Of, I mean, do you understand that the streets of Paris were burning?
But wasn't he a peddler? Wasn't he taking money for some dom, and he was playing around with, I mean, he must, he's already up on, I believe he's being brought up on charges.
Oh, Jacques Chirac was in bed with, the former prime minister of France was in bed with the Oil for Food program. So was the other guy, Boris Yeltsin.
Yeah.
You know?
Boris die?
Yeah, well, I think he did, but his predecessor.
Putin?
Putin and Chirac and, Germany, the guy from Germany, they were all involved with Saddam with the Oil for Foods program.
I didn't realize that the German chancellor was involved there.
They were, you know what, the whole freaking thing is a disaster.
It was widespread. I mean, look,
we have about a minute left, and then this great discussion, which I appreciate this afternoon, is almost over.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really enjoyable, and I look forward to calling in again. But if any of your listeners out there need advice on bankruptcy, I can be reached at 212-675-6161. This is Gus Michael Farinella from the law offices of Gus Michael Farinella, 212-675-6161. Thanks, Tom.
Okay. Fine.
Fine.
All right, there you have it. Just another program here. We had a surprise guest caller, and, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So this is the Tom Farinella Radio Show right here at, what is this? This is blogtalkradio.com. It's very difficult to find the program, but we'll have to change that with some more shows on a more regular basis. Does that make sense? I don't know. But we're getting ready to say goodbye here, ladies and gentlemen. And on this Saturday afternoon, I appreciate...
Now, here's Tom Farinella.
Yes, that's me. Okay. And we are going to say goodbye from New York City. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America for people who just get it, the Tom Farinella Radio Program, where you get to hear me rant, and if you want, you can rant. Until next time, this is Tom Farinella reminding you, if you don't speak up, you'll never be heard.
Tom Farinella.